Hear that? Up there in that tree?
Oh, yeah.
Tweet, tweet.
It's me and all my homies love native manu, and it's about to start.
Yes, no mai, hoki mai. Welcome to Me and All My Homies Love Native Manu. E tēnei wiki, we are having a kōrero about the piwowo, the rock wren. It's a bit of a quiet call, this one, and it's a pretty tiny manu. But we're very, very honoured to be talking about it. And here with me, as always, to talk about the manu is my homie, Pete Tonda. Welcome back, Pete.
Kia ora, Lib.
Kia ora. This week we're talking about the piwowo. Pete, do you want to give us the classification of this manu, please?
Yeah, the piwowo, it's an endemic bird, so that's only found here. It's nationally endangered.
Yeah.
And they are declining quite rapidly. Yep. I'm pretty concerned about that.
Yeah.
They need urgent help. They're very vulnerable to predators, and we'll talk a bit more about yep. that later on. But a bit of a sad kōrero today. There used to be 6 endemic wren species in Aotearoa, and 4 of them have already gone extinct.
Yep.
And we've only got the piwowo and the titiponamu, the rifleman, left.
Yep. So it feels quite urgent to have this conversation today. We'll get into the threats and stuff. Maybe I just want to talk about the kind of tangata whenua relationship to the piwowo a bit first. We couldn't find a lot on the piwowo, but the name piwowo means little complaining bird, which you said was a bit harsh, Pete.
It seems a bit harsh, eh? Poor little things stuck up in the cold. Than just a little cry for help, I think.
Yeah, and also, like, I think it deserves to be complaining. We're not treating her super well.
No.
But also, the manu goes by other names such as the Mā Tuitui and the Tuke as well. Tuke means twitch because of the way it kind of bobs and flits around. And Pete, you found this whakatauki, and it's Mā Te Huruhuru Kārere Te Manu. And what does that mean?
Yeah, translates to adorn the bird with feathers so it can fly. So it speaks of giving something what it needs to thrive, and with the right sort of support and resources, anything or anyone can thrive and succeed.
Yeah.
And this sort of manu absolutely needs our support and resources, so it seemed like a good whakatauki.
Ai, marika. And it's not a whakatauki specifically related to the piwowo, but just kind of felt felt appropriate for our kōrero today. And so they've got a very ancient lineage.
They were here. They were around when the Gondwana ancient supercontinent that split apart. That's like 180 millions, a million years ago.
That's even older than you, bro.
yeah, a fair bit older than me. And so it's an earlier lineage than the Kiwi or the Moa.
Yeah.
So they are absolutely ancient.
Yeah.
And they were once common in the mountain ranges of the Southern Alps.
Yeah.
But very rapid decline. And I came across this 2007 study of rock wrens in the Murchison Mountains, and over 20 years there was a 44% decline, and that's free fall.
Huge.
That's massive. So we don't actually know exact numbers, maybe between 1,000 and 5,000 birds.
But with no really up-to-date study.
No, there's
or investment. We don't know.
Couldn't find any real investment in these manu. And they really need some research and mahi going into looking after them.
But in saying that, it's a win bird of the year in 2022, which is good exposure.
Good exposure.
But
doesn't save them.
Just like a little popularity contest, isn't it?
Yeah.
So yeah, where would you find this bird, Pete?
So they're just they're an alpine bird. So they're in the South Island in the Southern Alps.
Yeah.
But pretty sort of widely spread across the alpine ranges.
Oh, yeah.
And some areas they, you know, they've just disappeared. So
yeah.
That's the worry about these manu.
Yeah, and they're, well, how would you describe the bird, Pete? What do they look like? What are they up to?
they're our only truly alpine bird. Very small.
That's really interesting.
Yeah.
I've really thought
you get a few parrots like going up into
like
that
the
area,
and,
but they don't. Yeah. They don't kind of. That's not their habitat. They just wander in and out. But these ones are just. They spend all their time in those alpine areas.
Oh, yeah.
Even in the depths of winter with truckloads of snow.
Which is crazy to me that they're able to. They're so tiny. They're only about 9 centimetres long. So it's crazy that they're able to survive in such harsh conditions.
And they're like to look at. The males are green on top with about grey brown underneath and a bit of yellow down their flanks.
Yep.
The females, like commonly, the females don't need to have the flashy clothes because it's the bloke that's trying to impress the. The female.
And the females are just like, get away from me. I don't need you.
So
I'm an independent woman.
all of that. They have almost no tails.
Oh, true.
Which makes them look quite hard case, really.
Yeah.
They weigh very little. Like the males are only about 16 grams and the females about 20 grams.
Yeah, yeah.
But they've got these long legs they use for hopping.
Yes, and so they don't really fly super far?
They can fly a little bit, but they mostly prefer to hop around. Yeah.
And I'd really encourage for people listening, we're talking about the piwowo, to do a little Google of that, the rock rib, and how it moves around, because it's very interesting to watch.
Yeah. And the other interesting thing, though, with ancient birds, they used to sort of shed their skins.
Legs?
I haven't been able to. It definitely on their legs, but I haven't been able to figure out. I've been researching, but they shed skin and then it falls down their legs like these little anklets. They're like a fashion statement that no one can see because no one sees them up there.
But it's so tiny. It's like the tiniest bracelet you've ever seen
anyway,
in your life.
That's cool for them.
Hey, they've got to have some fashion to keep them a little bit warm up in the
exactly.
In the Alps.
And they do this bobbing motion a lot, and they flick their wings.
Yeah.
And so, you know, if you've seen the waxahachie, the toho feeding, often they'll sit on the branches and they'll flick their wings. So it's that sort of motion.
Yeah, okay. And is there any kind of reason for that bobbing motion, do you know?
I could make up some reasons, but...
Okay, go
No,
to.
I don't know.
We won't try and make up reasons. We'll leave it to the experts. And what are they feeding off? Because obviously this is a very harsh environment that they're living in.
Yeah, they find insects and moths and beetles and scale insects, flies, spiders, and they eat a little bit of fruit like the berries on the karamu, the coprosma bushes. And the ground feeders. So,
Yeah, nice. No, easy meal, I feel. I don't know. Is it? I don't know. But in terms of the breeding, Pete, this is really important to talk about with such an endangered bird. You've said that they nest on the ground?
Yeah, in cavities. They find sort of holes in the rocks and that. And they make this fully lined and enclosed nest.
Sounds pretty cozy.
It's quite cool.
Yeah.
Well, it is. Yeah. And
it has to be, right? Because...
For the cold.
Yeah.
And so they have about three eggs. They have one brood per year. Both adults lay on the eggs and raise the chicks.
And that's about sharing the, you know...
The mahi.
Yeah. That's about co-parenting, guys.
Yeah. But I think the isolation leads to this obsession that they have with collecting feathers. And one could call it a fetish. it is feathers. But anyway, one researcher counted 791 feathers in one nest. Go figure.
Oh, my gosh. That's incredible.
That seems over the top, doesn't it?
Yeah.
But in the middle of winter, when it's below freezing, the temperature in the nest can be a very toasty 30 degrees. So,
which is incredible when temperatures in that region are below zero for most of the winter.
So yeah. It's kind of method in the madness of getting the feathers. And scientists used to use those nests to find out where the kakapo lived, because if were kakapo around, the local piwowo would bound to have some of its plumage in their nest. So that's how they tracked where kakapo lived.
Everything is connected, guys.
Oh, yeah, it is.
Everything is connected. That is so... Like, it just amazes me that our... Well, of course, our manu are so smart, but, like, being able to construct a nest where the temperature is so warm for their babies, that's amazing.
Yeah, they've got this little entrance and they just go into... They built this little feather cave.
Yeah.
It's very cool to look at.
Oh, my God, I kind of, like... I want to build myself a feather cave.
Yeah. That would take you a while, wouldn't it?
Pete's looking at me like, you're crazy.
You'd need a few thousand feathers for that, wouldn't you?
More than 791 anyway.
Exactly.
And so, yeah, as we were saying, there's been a 44% decline. Well, probably that's a 2007 statistic, so we don't even know. But there's a lot of threats to these manu, Pete. Do you want to the piwowo? Do you want to talk about that?
They've got the worst characteristics for that. The poor flyers, the ground nesters, and the ground feeding.
Yeah.
And so their key predators are stoats and mice, particularly the stoats. And the stoats got this incredibly good sense of smell.
Mm.
And the piwowo, they're just like sitting ducks. And for me, the nest is like the smell of a meat pie in my surfing days. You go for surf, you get out of the water, you're freezing cold, and you just make a beeline to the dairy and have a couple of rat packs. And on the subject of rats...
Should we go get a pie soon? I'm actually really craving
a pie. I like pies.
Yeah, I love pies too.
I have too many pies. I'm trying not to.
Yeah.
But rats are not a threat yet because they don't go that far up into the alpine areas.
Yeah.
But climate change with, you know, global warming, that could change.
Exactly. I think that's
and
important.
And that's another pending threat for these poor little manu.
Yeah, and I've also heard down in the Te Manuhuna Mackenzie Basin area, like feral cats are a huge problem there as well. And we were just saying that, like, get your cats neutered, guys. Even if you don't think it's part of the problem, you are part of the problem. And, like, we already have enough cats. And, like, this comes from two people who really love cats. We both really love cats.
Oh, absolutely.
But,
yeah,
we need to...
Right species in the right place.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep. Absolutely. Yep. These manu in serious trouble, eh, Pete?
They are, and they do need targeted programs for trapping.
Yeah.
But, you know, some real monitoring of what is the actual population, where are they distributed, what's the rate of decline, so we know, you know, what to do. But, they're out of sight, out of mind, and, you know, we do have over 4,000 species at risk in Aotearoa.
Yeah.
So it's a massive, massive challenge.
Yeah.
But we don't want this another... precious wren species to go extinct.
Yeah.
And we really need to put some money into this little manu.
Absolutely. Because we're just talking about how the kakapo has, and bless the kakapo, we love it. It has $1.3 million invested
into
it annually. Whereas we can't find statistics.
I can't find any investment in for the piwowo.
Yeah, and just like how as humans we've kind of got our priorities wrong, you know?
Yeah. And the kakapo, we've got to save that. And we've put a lot of money into Takahe and Kokako, and that's all good.
Yeah.
But when you think of the numbers, you know, 1.3 million cost of an average house in Tamaki Makaurau.
Aye.
And so have we got our priorities right?
Yeah.
You know, we just... And you think of how much we spend on lotto on that $55 million ticket, you know. Or if that money, just 1 week's worth of people giving up $10, it would make such a huge difference.
Yeah,
you know?
It would change the course of the life of this bird.
Of course it would. It would save them.
Yeah, and change the course of Aotearoa as well because... You know, as we always talk about, everything is connected and our ecosystems are so fragile. So, like, if we put money into one bird, that's going to be restorative for so many other parts of Te Taiao. Yeah. Yeah, so a bit of a sad kōrero today, guys, to be honest. But, yeah, we really wanted to talk about the piwaiwo because it's a really special manu. And thanks, Pete, for coming in. I really always appreciate this segment with you. And you've got a song to play for us to kind of whakanoa.
Oh, no, I love these sessions. I love coming in. I love doing the research. And it feels important.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
So the song, a Bik Runga song.
Yeah, Bik Runga.
Honest goodbyes. hoping we don't say goodbye to this little manu soon. So it's a beautiful song.
Yeah.
Kia ora.
And this is the Live to Air that was on 95BFM Breakfast. Thanks, Pete, for coming in. See you next week.
Kia ora.
Sink with the tide, rescue me if you like. I'll be leaving it all up to you. Think how we tried, it's okay to be lied to, as long as it's only by you. Say to me, it's best that we've parted, and you know I'm better alone. Don't explain to me how you're so broken-hearted. I'm too busy mending my own. Ending each night with such honest goodbyes, such honest goodbyes for the last time. Honest goodbyes only work once or twice. They work once or twice, then the rest must be lies. Colors fade from the sky, and the music is gone from the moon. Standing in line for what used to be mine, what use is the rhyme with no tune? It's best that we've parted, and nothing is carved out in stone. But it's such a shame how we're back where we started. It's late now and time that we go. Ending each night with such honest goodbyes, such honest goodbyes for the last time. Honest goodbyes only work once or twice. They work once or twice, then the rest must be lies. The rest must be lies. The rest must be lies. The rest must be lies.
Ah, isn't that beautiful?
That was Me and All My Homies Love Native Manu, only on 95 BFM.